Madeleine L'Anglais wrote in her poem, Firstborn Light, "The maker's hand flung stars across the night, with angels bursting forth from galaxies, new music singing from the spheres in harmonies that blessed the dancing of the firstborn light." And we have been entranced ever since. This contraption I'm holding in my hand is called a Sky Scout. It was invented by a friend of Carl's about 16 years ago, and Carl did some of the design work on it. It is a cool little thing. If you point it at the sky, using GPS technology, it orients you to what you're looking at and gives you a description of it. But here's one more other thing about this little machine. It not only tells you what you're looking at, it tells you the history and mythology of what you're looking at as well. It tells you about the particular constellation or celestial object. This machine as an object is kind of obsolete now. As many of you know, you can do this with your cell phones and an app. But you know what you can't do with your cell phones or an app, because Carl and I checked. They don't give you the history and mythology of the stars and constellations like this does. I like the Sky Scout, because it shows that throughout the ages, people have seen the stars in different ways. They have created stories about them. They have navigated the oceans with them. The fascination has existed for a long time. It is the season of Advent. If you look around in stores, there are innumerable Advent calendars out there. But Atlantic Monthly has a virtual one. Every day of Advent, they post a photograph taken by the Hubble telescope. These photographs are stunning, and I'm going to show you them so far. There's 7 up right now, and I've captured them for you, and my assistant is going to put them up. And so I'm going to tell you what they are. This is a colossal shell of light. Spirals of dust swirl across trillions of kilometers of interstellar space as an expanding halo of light around a distant star named V838 Monos Sirotis. Next. A spectacular spiral, this celestial object spiral galaxy M100 is seen here as observed by Hubble's Wide Field Camera 3. Summertime on Saturn. Hubble observed Saturn and its rings on June 2019 as the planet was near its closest approach to Earth, about 845 million miles away. Mystic Mountain. In 2010, Hubble peered deep in the Carina Nebula, 7,500 light years from Earth, capturing this image of chaotic activity atop a pillar of gas and dust, 3 light years tall. This is my favorite. It's full of stars, it's called. Messier 28, a globular cluster in the constellation of Sagittarius. It is 12 billion years old. And the next is a stellar shell. This massive bubble in space is the result of gas that is being shocked by the expanding blast wave of a supernova. And finally, our last one, a galactic warp, a Hubble view of ESO 510G1, an unusual galaxy seen edge-on, revealing remarkable details of its warped, dusky disk, and shows how colliding galaxies spawn the formation of a new generation of stars. Thank you for indulging me in the stars. The juxtaposition of these star images, the product of incredible scientific innovation, and the season of religious pause and waiting, shows how we as humans link our stories. Our Time for All Ages story this morning tells the story of the Big Bang in simple, poetic language, linking the beginning of the universe with the beginning of Earth, with the beginning of a particular person, the child of the story. It links all of creation together from the very beginning. The scientist and theologian Ilia Delio writes, "The human person is not a ready-made fact, but the outflow of billions of years of evolution, beginning with cosmogenesis and the billions of years that led to biogenesis. We are, as the story says, the stuff of stars. It is no wonder we are fascinated. In our ability to glimpse the little that we see, we can experience infinity. We can imagine eternity. It is no wonder that humans throughout the ages placed their gods there in this vast space that appears and for all intents and purposes is infinite and eternal. Understanding the vastness of the universe, we also imagine life beyond Earth. Could such a vast universe not contain life or intelligence that we could communicate with? Timothy Ferris writes in the book Life Beyond Earth, "Humans alone of all creatures on Earth have the capacity to investigate how life began, to wonder where it might be headed, and to ask whether there are creatures on other planets who are asking the same kinds of questions. Would not the processes that created us create life similar somewhere else? It is fascinating to contemplate, is it not?" The movie Contact gave us a fictional glimpse at how we might try and contact these intelligences and what they might be like. The thing I found most fascinating about the movie is that the intelligence that they found was not like us. It was something very different. You'll have to watch the movie to see what that was. It is natural to be in awe of the stars. It is natural to be curious, to imagine what might be out there, how whatever is out there might give us answers on how to perhaps live more fully here. Surely, they are more advanced than we. And so we look to the stars. The season of Christmas and Advent is also about glancing at, finding meaning in following a star. The Magi, they say, ancient astronomers who also look to the stars for answers. And so the stars become a seasonal symbol of humanity's search for meaning amidst chaos. The second part of the poem by Madeleine Langley reads, "And then the light was darkened by an earth dimmed by torn dreams, saddened by shrill pride. Stars faded, lost their story, and died. The dance distorted in strange lies and anger." There is both a fascination and a hubris as we look to the stars. Even as we revel in our relationship to what is out there, we must come to terms with the fact that we, all of us, are here. That the cosmic blast that led to the creation of stars and planets and spewed life here on this planet, in this moment of cosmic time, and we are part of that moment, that precious moment, right now. And when our fascination with out there somehow leads us to forget our relationships right here, we can become lost. It is compelling to look for answers out there. And in religious and secular imaginations, we have looked for and continue to look for salvation somewhere out there. And we need to abandon this life we're living now, for something yet to come or life somewhere else. And Jeff Bezos, that Amazon billionaire, said he could not imagine any better way to spend his billions than to create a private space program that would lead us to Mars. I know, the idea of going to Mars is a really cool one. But when does it become like the religious idea of a salvation out there, an escape from right here? The physical reality of our now. If we cannot figure out human and non-human relationships here, how are we going to do it on Mars? It can be an abandonment and despair of the present. It can be a giving up. Social psychologist and theologian Guillermo Omorchu writes in his book, Incarnation, "We belong intimately to the earth, and therein lies our salvation. Our spiritual journey is not one of escape, but of homecoming. Our alienation and violent destructive streak arises from our separation from the earth and pitches us over and against our becoming." Madeleine Langlais' poem finishes with the lines, "Love's hand again has lifted. In a manger again the maker of stars gave birth." In the same way that the story on the Time for All Ages brings us from the vastness of creation of the stars to the particularity of the birth of a child, Madeleine Langlais does the same. She brings us from the vastness to the particularity. The story of Advent is one of waiting and anticipation, of following a star to a very specific event, which does not take place in the heavens, but becomes incarnate, enfleshed on this tiny planet, in the midst of eternity, and born of a woman in all of the messiness of human birth. One does not have to see Jesus as divine to understand his bodily existence, his insistence on justice and care, not in a distant future, but in the here and now. "When I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was imprisoned, you visited me. When I was naked, you clothed me." He was about hope in a troubled world, not to show us about the hereafter, but to show us about the here and now, to model for us hope for what we can be. In our awe of the vastness of all that is, we can ground ourselves in the wonder of where we find ourselves right now, in the beauty of the world around us, in the potential we have for creating justice in human relationships as our part, our particularity, in part of something larger than ourselves. In this season of Advent, when we look to the stars, let us remember that our spiritual journey is about homecoming, living in our particular place, at our particular time, as collaborators with the divine in this place now. Amen and blessed be.